Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman as we explore what's going on in the financial markets. And remember, we do not profess to be financial advisors. We're just telling you what's going on from our point of view, and I'll tell you what, Bob Chapman's been a lot more right than most of our financial advisors. But what you're seeing today in the stock market is what's known as a bear market or a bear trap, and they're trying to get you trapped into that market before they pull the rug out and collapse it down. Why will it collapse more? Well, because the price-earnings ratio suddenly are way too high. The earnings reports on our major corporations are going to be down when they come in, and of course they're falsifying some of the earnings like they did with Wells Fargo recently to try to run the market up. But it's all really illusion. It's symbolism over substance, rhetoric over reality. And so with that as the background, let's go to our special guest, Bob Chapman. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Well, pretty good, Stan. I'm ready to go today.
All right, fine. Tell us the latest things that our listeners should know about and be concerned about, because
I think Stan, what you were talking about, and that is the earnings that have come out on Wells Fargo and what a travesty they are. And now we've got Goldman Sachs coming out and telling us they made $3.59 a share. When they just got these flow-through funds, which came through AIG secretly, and of course eventually they were discovered, and among many, many other banks, altogether $101 billion. And that's how they made these earnings. And what happened was that AIG had gone naked on writing derivatives. And because they went under, they had to satisfy the other half of the trade, their half. And that's why all those banks got paid off, because they would have had to take the losses. So the American taxpayer was chosen to be allowed to take those losses. And so that money that illegally went to all those parties, and Goldman Sachs in particular, satisfied the other side of the trade and gave them money which they wouldn't have normally had.
Well, now, why would AIG have...
It shows earnings. It's a one-shot deal. Wells Fargo did the same thing. The Wachovia merger is disastrous. I mean, they're looking at... foreclosures coming out of their ears. And so they have hijacked the stock market by coming out with these types of earnings, and they're spacing them to continue to influence the market so the market doesn't go down and make the Treasury and the Fed's job of having to keep the market up that much easier. That's why you're seeing the spacing here. If you notice, Wells Fargo came out 2 weeks early with their earnings, which is outrageous. I mean, it's never done. So, you know they're up to something.
I think they said they made something about $10 trillion, something like $10 billion. But Meredith Whitney, and because you put me on to her, I've been following Meredith very closely, she thinks the bank stocks have a long way to go before they hit bottom. And I think that she probably is very, very well informed about what's really going on. Hang on there, Bob. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Bob Chapman. We're talking about what's going on financially. And, of course, I don't know if you've been following the market, but the market's really been doing pretty fairly well. You know, it's gone up from about 650, 640, 660 in there somewhere, up to, well, it was around 800 and 8,000. And then, of course, we have certainly Wells Fargo announcing it made a lot of money, I don't know how many billions of dollars, but certainly Goldman Sachs has said it's made an amazing profits in the first quarter. Well, of course, those profits really were, of course, the money that was taken from the American tax dollars, because Henry Paulson, who used to work for Goldman Sachs, said, oh, the American investment group AIG is too big to fall. We've got to subsidize it. We've got to give them $30 billion and $80 billion and $20 billion and $40 billion. Give them close to about $180 billion. Now, and what they did is they simply gave that money to Goldman Sachs, Henry Paulson's old corporation, which he still has stock in, which he made close to $1 billion, I think close to $800 million there, working as a CEO. And this impartial Secretary of the Treasury, of course, now has given all this money to Goldman Sachs, and they're declaring they made a major profit. Well, after all, if somebody gave you $12.5 billion, don't you think you'd be able to show a profit? I mean, why isn't anybody pointing out that Henry Paulson was not an impartial individual, that Henry Paulson should be, I believe, of course, indicted for fraud, for giving money to his old company? I think that Barney Frank, who wrote the legislation, forgot to tell, you know, Henry Paulson how to use the money, and then when Henry Paulson got the money, he gave it to Goldman Sachs, and they didn't lend it out here in the United States. That money that we gave to those major banks was lent out to China and to India and to Dubai, and of course to Spain, and then part of it was used to finance a baseball stadium. When are the American people going to wake up and realize this whole thing is a scam? What are your thoughts, Bob?
Well, I think everybody on Wall Street in Washington knows. And so the American public, half of them are illiterate, so they don't know anything. And so you get half of the people who have an idea what's going on, and probably out of that maybe 20% understand it. And so we've got something like 80% of the population doesn't have a clue to what's being done to them.
And of course, what they're really doing is in the process of destroying the value of our currency and impoverishing our people. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course we're just talking with Bob Chapman about the greatest transfer of wealth that has ever taken place in all of history. In fact, Paul Volcker recently, a member of the Trilateral Commission, certainly the honorary the chairman of the Northern California chapter of the Trilateral Commission, a chief of the Group of 30, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, former director of the, or chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, Paul Volcker recently said that the financial crisis we're seeing is the greatest financial crisis in all time, in all history. There's never been a financial crisis compared with the financial crisis we're involved in today. And he ought to know, he's part of the group that orchestrated this whole incredible collapse of our economy, certainly the collapse of our currency, and of course the impoverishment of our people. But they're not about to tell the American people what they're doing is taking our money and transferring it to the people of great wealth, and in the process of destroying the value of our currency, they will certainly destroy the very foundation of this nation. Go right ahead.
Well, I think you're absolutely right in your assessment of Volcker's statement. And his connections, he's at the top, so to speak. And, you know, when you don't have opposition, you create it. People don't, who are in power, don't just want one side of the story. And in creating this opposition, you control it. And so this is what Volcker is all about. He belongs to the group of bad guys, and he's sent up there to put up an antithesis, a statement that, oh, this is terrible and it's going to get worse and this is the worst in history. And, of course, he's right. And I'm sure he likes being the person who calls it the way it is. But the point is that that keeps people like you and I, Stan, and other commentators away from saying that all of this is disastrous, like Volcker said. And so we don't get a chance to expose what Volcker and all of those people are all about and all the other things that they're doing. It's just like you're seeing now on Fox. This is an effort to take over the reins of the right and run around and tell people, woe is me, we get terrorists hiding behind every stump, and that means anybody who happens to have a gun, or anybody who likes or voted for Ron Paul, we want them harassed and eventually put out of the way. And so this is part of this antithesis, the antithesis, the Hegel, the Feuerbach, the mounting of a whole passel of information that they want exposed, but they want to control that exposure, and at the same time be able to put a control on people that they think, or they believe, represent terrorists. And so you've got a lot going on here, and people don't realize it. Say, oh, gee, Glenn Beck and O'Reilly and Hannity and Limbaugh, they're saying, yeah, there's bad guys out there, and they're hiding everywhere. What they've done is stolen the message.
I think it's so interesting. It was just last night on 60 Minutes, Leslie Stahl did a session on assault weapons and on the gun shows and how so many people are buying up guns today. And, oh, if we could just disarm the people, we would stop all of the shootings, you know, on the college campuses. Well, of course, a lot of the violence actually comes from people, you know, who actually have been a part of CIA mind control. Anybody who doubts that needs to go into the background of Ted Kaczynski, who joined a CIA mind control program when he was at Harvard University, and they destroyed his whole mind, his psyche, and then we end up with the Unabomber. And he's a perfect example. We used to carry the book, it's still available, I'm sure, out there, on Ted Kaczynski, and he was really, his mind was destroyed by a CIA mind control program. How many of the other people that we have? We saw this fellow at Virginia Tech recently commit terrible things. If anybody had had a gun there, they could have stopped him. But of course, we've made every one of our schools and universities a shooting gallery because, of course, we've made it a federal crime for anybody but the criminals and the murderers to have guns there. Wouldn't it be logical if people could defend themselves from psychopaths? Certainly the police wouldn't go in there. They weren't going to go in, take a chance on getting shot. Well, if somebody had been there with a gun, they could have put this whole thing down. They weren't allowed to. It's against the law. What everything the government is doing is to make things worse. Actually, they authorized all of these psychotropic drugs, which the young man at Virginia Tech was on, that make people homicidal and suicidal. And they know that the drugs make them homicidal and suicidal. So why are they allowing these drugs to be administered here in the United States? Well, you go right ahead, Bob. But because this whole thing is, there's a massive program for gun control and gun registration. Certainly, Dianne Feinstein, who when she was the mayor of San Francisco, insisted on having a gun permit so she could carry a gun, but she wants to disarm all the rest of the people. She gives hypocrisy a bad name. Isn't it amazing Leslie Stahl didn't ask that question of her when she was advocating gun control, on yesterday's 60-minute program? Isn't it a shame that they didn't give people a chance to talk and say the reason that they want to have weapons is because that's how you keep government from establishing a dictatorship? And there are many people who are concerned that Barack Obama has already he said he wants to have a civilian police force, federal police force, that is, you know, better armed than our military, as well armed as our military. What a frightening thing. That sounds just like the SS. That's why people are out there buying guns, because they're afraid of government. But now, once did Leslie Stahl allow any of that thought to be expressed on the 60-minute program? But you go right ahead, Bob.
Well, you're correct, and she couldn't help but sit there and gloat. You could see it written all over her face. But they have contempt for us people who believe in the Constitution and God and all those kinds of things. And you know, it's what do you expect? You must expect on media that is totally controlled by the enemy.
You're absolutely right. In fact, we can give you example of that after over 60 minutes, where they will delete things. For instance, repeat programs where somebody made a real good point, and it may have gone out the first time correctly, and then, of course, when it comes around again, they delete the important points that people say, because they don't want people to understand. They want to mold our minds and create our tastes and form our ideas, and they do that so effectively by programs like 60 Minutes, which is why I watch them. I want to know what the enemy are doing to manipulate the reality of the American people. Well, anyway, as far as what's going on economically, Bob, what about the corporate reports? Aren't the corporate reports, earnings reports, going to be out here shortly? And what are they going to show?
Well, they're on their way, and they're going to be probably, I've got it in this next issue, but they came in for the S&P 500, I don't know, 6 months ago at $90. Now they're looking at $28.
And the value of the S&P 500?
The value of the earnings.
Okay, I see. Okay.
And that's a devastating change. And
but because what that really does, of course, is make the price-earnings ratio really very, very high. In other words, makes the stock should be, price-earnings ratio should be 8 to 10, or really that's a good buy. And what is it, up to 25 or 30? Where is it right now?
I hate to tell you this, but it's 100.
Really? Well, that means, of course, yeah, that the stocks eventually are going to collapse, you know, down, what, to 3,000, 4,000?
4,000, I think, if we're lucky. What they've done here is they're playing this financial card. Everybody in the street knew about it, and so they hopped on the wagon. And when they've got that going because of all these bad earnings that have come out over the next month, and they start about next week. And so you have two offsetting factors here, and they're hoping that the market can hold up at these levels in spite of the dreadful news that's coming out by manipulating the financials. What I had one of my sources in New York tell me that what the financial companies did was they, in their own firms as well as in other firms and in conjunction with one another, they went to the people who had legally shorted stocks but had borrowed securities to do that. And when you short a stock, you don't have it, but you're selling it. So you're going to borrow that stock someplace. Brokerage firms lend that stock to you, and they charge you for that. Anyway, they called in as much of the collateralizing shares in their own companies and companies of, quote, their friends. And that's how the market and the financials started running back up again. We got word of this about 3 years ago, and I closed out all our shorts, which were Citigroup, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, and J.P. Morgan Chase. And we had been short, I don't know, 50, 60, 70, 80% higher. But anyway, we closed them out because we knew what they were doing. And, of course, this is illegal, but, you know, it doesn't make any difference. Where is the SEC? Hiding as usual. And the SEC only pursue small companies, small brokers, and newsletter writers.
Hold that thought. We should be back here in just a moment with Bob Chapman here at the Radio Liberty Network. Bob, you go right ahead.
And so there's no regulation for the rich and powerful, the wealthy on Wall Street who keep on stealing from us, and the banks, of course, as well. So that's what they've done, and that's how they've got the rally going. Now all the bad news is going to come out, and the good news that was created in these financial companies is supposed to be able to neutralize that. I don't think that's going to work because I think a good deal of the gains in the financials are over. In fact, I think the market should start topping out this week. And, you know, it's come from 6,600 on the Dow to 8,000. That's a 25 or so percent increase in the period of about 3 weeks. And so I think it's over. We might go sideways for a month. But and maybe slightly lower, but all of a sudden it'll break down. There won't be a summer rally, and this is it. And 6,600 will be tested again. And I think in the fall, I think it'll probably go down to anywhere between 4,500 and 6,000. It's hard to tell where, but conservatively, we'll say 5,500 to 6,000. And that's not going to be good because all the pension and profit sharing plans of states, cities, municipalities, counties, whatever, and in all of the pension plans, which are already off in the last 20 months, somewhere around 60%. And, you know, they're in serious trouble. And if the market goes down to that 5,500, 6,000 level on the Dow, then a lot of them are not going to be able to pay the full amount of their pensions. Now, there is the Pension Guarantee Corporation, but they're broke. And they would need, maybe $500 billion to make this payoff to keep the pension plans solvent. On the other hand, all of those state and county and those governmental agencies are not covered, which means the United States government, if they don't want them to go bankrupt, they're going to have to come up with the money to give to them. They'll call it a loan, but of course it's not. They're never going to get paid back. And they're going to have to come up with the money to make them solvent. I mean, this whole thing is absolute insanity. And the American taxpayer is paying for every bit of it.
Well, I don't think the average individual really understands the implications of what's happening. I think that one of the most significant things is the fact that the Social Security fund is not getting the money, and it has in the past, nor is Medicare, because there's so many people out of work, so they're not paying their Social Security and Medicare funds, and so they're going to go bankrupt a lot sooner. In other words, these funds are going to go bankrupt a lot sooner. There's nothing there. That the money doesn't come in. The government can't steal that money as it has in the past and simply replace it with worthless bonds. And suddenly we're going to find that the government is going to have, you know, massive outlays and not going to have the money from Social Security and Medicare it's had in the past. Is that a fair assessment?
That's about $250 billion a year.
Right. And so
in fact, last year it was $300, but it's starting to go down this year. And they're in the same position the pension funds are. And the government will have to print money and pour it in there.
Hold that thought. We'll be right
back.
Everybody
says, well, isn't this going to happen in the next 3 months and everything's going to fall apart? And the answer is no. They're going to keep on pulling all this foolishness until they can't do it anymore or until exactly when they want to pull the plug or they have to pull the plug on the entire inflationary economy, making it deflationary, and causing a deflationary depression. And that's what's going to happen. And
why do you think
some of these economists who are very good, who say we have deflation already? Well, of course we have. We've had it for 5 years. And money and credit has been increasing at a rate of average of 14%. by all major countries during that period of time. So they've offset deflation, and that's what they're going to want to continue to do. And so they will continue to do that until they can't anymore, or they start their third world war.
Well, because the thing would be that they can keep just increasing the money supply and increasing the printing money or creating money. They haven't really printed it. Most of it's just created out of nothing. It's simply a banking entries. But they can, I mean, we're talking about really over at least a $2 trillion deficit for this coming year. Now, it took us 200 years to run up a deficit of $1 trillion. They're talking about creating that in just a single year, not one, but $2 trillion, or close to that. I mean, this is going to have a devastating effect on our debt. I mean, certainly there's no way we'll ever be able to pay off that debt and all the other debt, which is about $65 trillion if you use the general accepted accounting principles, the GAAP principles, G-A-A-P. Look it up on the Internet, general accepted accounting principles, and the real debt of the United States is not what they're telling us at all. I mean, they will tell us that, you know, well, that the debt... The deficit last year was about, $450 billion, but it was really over $5 trillion if you use the generally accepted accounting principles, which they require corporations to use. The government just lies about the figures, don't they, Bob?
They certainly do. And I'm just seeing numbers now at $2.5 trillion for this fiscal year. And, you know, they just don't care. In fact, they want inflation so they can delay the program until they're ready to pull the plug. And you got to watch what's going on in Afghanistan. Troops and mercenaries, we get 200,000 people there. All he did was move them from Iraq to Afghanistan. They're going to extend the war into Pakistan. Take it into Bangladesh and India, and they're going to take it into Iran, and Israel is going to get involved. And they're going to have their third world war. And this is what they're looking for. And this is what's going to bail them out.
Well, because we're already...
They're going to get rid of a lot of people that they want to get rid of.
We're already attacking Pakistan. We're sending our drones in. We're sending special forces units in. These are acts of war against a sovereign nation. Where is the public outcry? That's how we got trapped into Vietnam. You know, we sent our troops in, and then pretty soon they were only their advisory, and then the next thing we knew they were fighting, and then, of course, we were, bombing North Vietnam, and then, of course, we were sending our bombers over into Cambodia to kill 600,000 innocent civilians over there. And, of course, we wonder why some of the Muslims hate us. Well, because we're killing their women and children. If they were killing our women and children, wouldn't we be incensed? Yet that's exactly what we're doing. And this is being carried out under the behest of Barack Obama, who insists we're going to have change. It looks to me like a change for the worse.
Well, Team A took over from Team B. And the people who are in charge of George Bush are now in charge of Barry Satoro. And that's just the way it is. And the American public's been hoodwinked again. They're dumber than dumb. And that's just the way America is.
I think our listeners should know that Barry Satoro is another alias for Barack Obama. He keeps changing his name for some reason. But his real name was Benny Satoro. But anyway, of course, the difficulty is, ladies and gentlemen, that the same people who were running this thing under George Bush are running it under Barack Obama. Where did Mr. Geithner come from? He was the chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. He was working very closely with Ben Bernanke and Henry Paulson under the Bush administration, and now he's in the key position in the Obama administration. He's Secretary of the Treasury. Mr. Gates, a very important position. Mr. Gates is George Bush's appointee, and of course Barack Obama kept him on. There are 11 members of the 80 members of the Trilateral Commission are in key positions in the Obama administration. Isn't it strange that nobody And nobody in the will tell the American people that today.
That's correct.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Change, and the public will only become.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, Bob, you go right ahead. Pick up the story there.
I would have rather heard the music, but anyway.
Well, I'd rather hear you talk. I get to hear the music anytime I want to. You go right
That's
ahead.
That's not fair.
But I, well, it was, whoever said anything was fair. You know, you'll have to have own program. I know I love to hear Kate Smith, but I think really, of course, what we're talking about is so vitally important to the people today. They need to understand that they're being lied to by the media. And there really is a little clique, a little cabal that controls both political parties, and it doesn't matter whether Democrats or Republicans are in there. It's always the same policies. And, you know, you get a new administration in, and they do all of these foolish things, and the people are really thinking, are scratching their heads and saying, how could this possibly be? Well, it's very simple. The same people are in control, whether the Republicans or the Democrats are there. But you pick up the story.
Yes, and the public either doesn't want to know or doesn't understand. And, of course, we keep on going on the radio worldwide and telling people about what's really going on, although that's very hard for people to understand from time to time because it seems so I don't know how you just crazy to them that you know anything could be like this. Another thing which I'm watching here is a lot of people who have understood for some years what's going on, going into sort of a, you might call it a hiding or a secret position. They don't want any exposure anymore because they really think that bad things are very close at hand. And I think these people are among the people who have been extremely arming themselves. I just picked up a piece which is going in Wednesday's issue, which is the day after tomorrow, and it came from a company in Alabama that sells guns and ammunition, and they just can't keep up with the demand.
I know we've heard the same thing from Outdoor World, which is a sporting store in this town. My son was telling me that they told him when he was down there the other day, they can't keep guns in stock. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was simply just saying that the word is out, and we hear this from several sources, but he confirmed what we've heard, is that all across America, people are frantically buying guns. Why? Because they believe that the Obama regime wants to establish a fascist dictatorship. They do not trust the government. They're concerned that we may be moving towards chaos, as both Zbigniew Brzezinski and Mr. Kissinger, Henry Kissinger, have talked about the coming chaos throughout the world. And if chaos comes to America, who's going to defend you? There's not going to be anybody answering 911 calls. They'll be too busy fighting the fires and putting down the armed militant groups that are out there. So you're going to have to be able to prepare to look after yourself, and you better start thinking about these things, the potential for chaos coming to America. Well, before we go on, first of all, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But before we go on, Bob, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get a copy of the International Forecaster and start reading it, as I do twice a week. In fact, I always look forward to reading what you have to say. But you pick up the story and tell people how they can subscribe.
Well, the Forecaster is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish via the Internet on Wednesdays and Saturdays, usually runs around 35 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. You can get a free introductory copy by going to our site. That address is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com. You can email us at bob@intforecaster.com. bob@intforecaster.com. Or you can call toll free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And we'll send you a copy.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you've got a call, got a question for Bob Chapman. And ladies and gentlemen, we're moving into very dangerous times here in the United States. Certainly, the media is controlled. They're solidly behind Barack Obama. I went down to the post office today to mail in our income tax forms, and there, in the post office, they have memorial envelopes to Barack Obama. I've never seen anything quite like it before. I mean, certainly, why would the post office be sending out envelopes with pictures of Barack Obama on them? Well, he is being created. He is to be the great world leader. How do we know that there's a force behind him? Why, of course, we can read Benjamin Cram, who's an occultist. We can read Corrine McLaughlin and Gordon Davidson, their articles in the occult literature telling you that Obama is the one. Why do you think it was that the stock market collapsed just a few weeks before the November election last year, which, of course, propelled Barack Obama into the White House? Do you think that was just a coincidence? Do you think it was just a coincidence that his picture appeared on the cover page of Time magazine 6 times last year and 3 or 4 times on Newsweek? How many times did you see a picture of Ron Paul or Romney or the others on the cover of the establishment publications? Because you have to understand that Time and Newsweek and U.S. News and World Report are all controlled by people who are part of the cabal, but they're not going to tell you that. Rush Limbaugh's not going to tell you that. In fact, he will attack you viciously if you ever talk about the Trilateral Commission and the fact that this organization created by Rush Limbaugh's good friend David Rockefeller was intent upon, and actually has, taken over the political government of the United States. And since 1976 up until the present administration, excluding the present administration, every president of the United States since 1976 and or vice president of the United States has been a member of the Trilateral Commission. Do any of you out there think that happened just by accident? And if it is true, why haven't we heard about it? Do you want to verify it? Go to augustreview.org. That's augustreview.org, and you can get the information there from our good friend Pat Woods, or certainly you can go read my November, December, January, and February newsletters, November, December 1980, January, February, I should say November and December 2008. And then, of course, the January and February 2009 newsletters there. Or simply go to the Trilateral Commission website and get their information. Certainly Bill Clinton is no longer listed in the members of the Trilateral Commission, but Dick Cheney is, and, of course, both Jimmy Carter and his vice president were members. George Herbert Walker Bush was a member of the Trilateral Commission. Bill Clinton was a member of the Trilateral Commission, as was his vice president, and then under the Bush administration. Dick Cheney was a member of the Trilateral Commission. How could they have that many people in key positions of government? Because they control our State Department. They have about 5 people in our State Department today. 5 of the key positions, and then, of course, Hillary's husband was a member of the Trilateral Commission. They always control the key positions in the administration, and you're never going to hear about David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission, whose purpose was to seize control of the political government of the United States so they could seize financial and commercial control of the world. And if you want doubt that, get Barry Goldwater's book, With No Apologies. Read page 280. He will tell you exactly what I told you. That's With No Apologies, Barry Goldwater, page 280. Read it, or we'll censor the page. You want to read it, you must understand. Nothing happens by accident. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. If you have a question for Bob Chapman, but right now we have Tony calling from Tennessee. Hi, Tony. How are you doing? Tony, are you there? Tony Hello. From Tennessee, are you there?
Who?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I thought we were talking to Dr. Stan.
You are talking to Dr. Stan. Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I only have about, you know, a couple of things I want to ask. Number one, you know, it's not the American people's fault what's going on today, because we were lied to through the whole thing. And we can't vote anymore because of the machines. And the third thing is, if you're just a poor old feller in Tennessee and you've got a little bit of money, what do you do with it?
Well, you have to ask that to Bob. He's a lot smarter than that than I am. Bob, how would you respond to Tony?
Well, I think the only place that is left that you can put money is in gold and silver related assets such as coins and shares. I see no other alternatives. CDs are a problem because you have a limit on insurance, and goodness knows when you might get paid. Insurance policies that have cash values are in the stock market. You have the same situation with annuities, pensions, as we discussed earlier, in the stock market and other things. And so I don't know where else to tell people to go to. The only thing that I can see that I think is safe is the gold and silver area, and so that's what I tell people.
All right, fine. Tony, does that answer your question?
Well, you're talking about the actual hands-on gold. You're not talking about certificates or anything like that, are you?
No. No, I'm talking about gold and silver coins, and for people who have a lot of money who want to be more aggressive in the purchase of gold and silver in that area, would perhaps want to go to shares. They're a good alternative as well. It all depends. People who have moderate to small amounts of money, generally speaking, should be in coins, although people with moderate amounts of money split it up as well.
Okay, Tony, does that answer your question?
Do you think that gold is overseas, gold from overseas is safe?
Well, the United States government is bringing tremendous pressure to bear on all of what they call offshore locations that have banking laws, which are different than what they are in the United States and in Europe. And they're bludgeoning these countries into agreeing to open their bank accounts that belong to Europeans or Americans to those governments so that they can see whether these people have pay taxes on their money. And secondly, that they can track what these people are doing with their money. And so that is underway. And so even Swiss banks are now telling clients, you've got to move your accounts out of here. That's going on with UBS as well as Credit Suisse, which began today. And I know of subscribers who have told me that their banks have called them and said, look, you've got to move your account out of here. And so this is going on worldwide. So I don't believe, generally speaking, that that's safe. Nowhere to go.
Well, we got real problems today because, of course, this whole thing centers around finances. That's the problem, Tony. And certainly what you want to do is diversify. But get some gold, get some silver, get some gold stock, get some money out of the country, or diversify what you have, okay? Okay,
well,
fine.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
God bless you. Okay, fine. Well, we've got Tom calling from Chicago. We've got our numbers, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you here in the Central Coast of California if you got a question, but we are living in very uncertain times, and I think people have to realistically realize we may lose everything we have, because believe me, the forces that are aligned against freedom and against Christianity are very, very powerful. They were powerful enough to take God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools and to make it a crime to pray to God, you know, at a football game. It's all right to play to Allah at a football game, but don't you dare pray to the God of the Bible, because these people hate Christianity. We're dealing with a truly satanic conspiracy, and most people do not understand that. If you go into the background of J.P. Morgan, go up on the internet, he was deeply involved in astrology. And, of course, he was involved in the occult. This is why he was able to amass his tremendous fortunes, because he tapped into the supernatural. And there really are supernatural forces out there that can give you wealth and fame and fortune, but avoid them like the plague, because in the final analysis, eternity is a long time. We're only here on the earth for a very short period of time. And right now, we've got Tom calling from Chicago. Tom, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes. How are you fellas doing this evening?
Doing just fine, thank you.
Wondering, with this phony run-up in the equities, our positions that we're holding, let's say I have some utilities, the American Electric Power, which I've gotten killed on, and AES, which is in a global electric, it was supposed to be a defensive position. Would you jettison all of this stuff, even with huge losses, or and just stay with the gold and silver-related assets? And I have one oil leasing company called Precision Drilling out of Canada.
All right, Bob, let's get Bob's opinion on that. Bob, what would you do? You're holding utility stocks. You've taken a real loss in them. Have you lost half of your investment? More than that, would you hang on and wait for it to come back? Would you get out of it now and get into gold and silver?
Well, we've just had a rally in the market. I consider it a second chance to sell. I would sell everything except gold and silver shares. Get out and stay out.
Even holding huge losses, you wouldn't dollar cost averaging down, you would jettison them at this time. Even though the sideways might cause these to go up in the near future.
Well, of course, but
well,
they might go down.
What you're trying to do is what professionals do, and you're not a professional, and you've got to trade the market, and you're not a professional to trade the market, so you shouldn't be doing that. So with that said, and incidentally, I was a professional for 28 years. And so with that said, you sell out and get out before the market goes back down again.
Right, right, okay. And we did take your advice in Mindfinders and Agnico, and they've been sort of heading downward, but we know they're going to head back upward, and real confident in all of those. And even in the bad mining shares, you'd say get out of those, like Ivanhoe and maybe Yamana?
No, I would hold them, because I think we got a move coming up here. And then as stocks move up that you don't care for anymore, then what you do is then let them go. And you've got some good stocks there that you just mentioned, Agnico and Mindfinders.
We've done very well, not so much in those because we've only had them a short time, but we have done very well with Silver Standard, and we look for great things from Mindfinders.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks, Tom. Just remember to be diversified so that you know, nobody can step on that basket and destroy all the eggs. God bless. Thanks very much. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for Bob. Well, we are in the most difficult financial times. I said probably, as Paul Volcker said recently, the most difficult financial times in all of history. And I certainly am reading newsletters with people saying that we haven't seen anything this bad in over 300 years. Actually, Great Britain has lowered the interest rate to the lowest rate going back to 1694 when William Paterson established the Bank of England. They've never had interest rates in England as low as they have today. Bob, what are your take on England? Some people say that England is going bankrupt along with a lot of the other nations. What do you think?
Well, I think they are. And they've already, they monetized debt prior to the U.S. doing it through the Fed. And, you know, they've taken over several financial institutions. Their economy is collapsing. The city of London is in the same spot that the Wall Street people are in. And I don't see it returning anytime soon. The real estate market crashed later than ours did, and that is a mess. Exports are down dramatically. 20% of business in England is done through the City of London, which is like Wall Street. And if you're having a big correction within the financial markets and financial companies, it's going to be very terse. Switzerland has the same problem. And as I discussed earlier, they're asking people to take their accounts away. Well, that certainly is going to cost them a lot of business. So Switzerland is not in the position that England is, but they're going to get hurt where one wouldn't think they would. But England
is in very bad shape.
Well,
Bob, what do you think about the the cantonal banks there in Switzerland? Would they hold up better than some of the other bigger banks? Something like
I think they will, but you know, the question is, are they going to ask people to move their accounts? I mean, you know, the Credit Suisse said today that they want people from Europe and from the United States to move their accounts out of there.
Why would they want them to move their accounts out?
Because the United States government told them to.
Oh, I see. Okay, fine.
And because they will, the U.S. said, look, you either do it or we destroy you. This is the way this works.
So
and
actually,
the Swiss have said, well, what can I do? Will every bank do that? I don't know. Possible? Certainly. Probable? Yes. So, you know, we don't know what they're going to do.
Well, of course, this is going to have a profound impact on Switzerland, which has been really so dependent upon, you know, of course, their banking industry for many centuries. And that is the strength of Switzerland, is that they have had a stable banking. They've been a stable banking haven. And yet, of course, what you're suggesting is all of that is coming to an end today because of the pressure that American Federal Reserve System and America can put on that country?
Well, it's not only Switzerland. Three more signed agreements last week, the Philippines, Malaysia, and Uruguay. And there's banks in all of those places that won't even accept U.S. citizen accounts, and some of them have already told accounts that they have to leave. Go someplace else. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you have an international dictatorial government led by fascistic United States.
Well, I would think that one of these days, these countries throughout the rest of this world are going to say, we're not going to go along with this. The American government is bankrupt morally and financially. I would think that they would stop investing in America, and if they ever do, why, the whole financial house of cards comes tumbling down.
Well, they already have, Stan, and that's why the Fed had to monetize that Treasury debt, and it's going to continue.
Well, with that, of course, will come the demise of the dollar, the demise of the American financial system, and, of course, the demise of America's leadership of the world. And, of course, well, who knows what's going to happen. Anyway, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Thanks very much, and we'll look forward to having you on again next week right here. At Radio
well, thank you very much. I'll be back.
Okay, bye-bye, Bob. And, of course, our guest has been Bob Chapman. I hope you've really enjoyed our program. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We hope you enjoy our program with Bob Chapman. And Bob Chapman is just saying that, of course, banks throughout the world, governments throughout the world, are beginning to stop buying American debt. Remember, we have to borrow $2 to $3 billion a day just to pay our debts. And when other countries don't lend us the money, if we can't borrow it from abroad, then we've got to just start making money. We've got to start creating money out of nothing, which devalues every dollar. Every new dollar they create devalues the dollars already in circulation. And that is how you debase the currency. And this is how you end up like the Weimar Republic or Zimbabwe in Africa. And, of course, you have to understand the United States government brought the government to power in Zimbabwe and kept this government in power as they destroyed the value of the currency. I honestly suspect that this was all part of a plan to see how you destroy a first world nation. They did a magnificent job of destroying that nation and take away the value of everything everybody there had worked their whole life for. And when the inflation rate reached 186 quadrillion, and that was sextrillion, that's not a quadrillion, not septillion, but $6 trillion, they simply dissolved the currency and started in all over again. It's only happened in the last few weeks, but you're not going to hear about that in other stations, because of course they don't want you to know, I fear, what lies ahead from America. They simply destroyed the currency of Zimbabwe, and we kept the government in power with humanitarian aid. Oh, we disagreed with what was going on, but we had to provide humanitarian aid to keep the ruthless murderer Mugabe in power. And that's exactly what we did. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And, of course, if you believe in what we're doing and we think we have an important message, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. We have a great new 4-tape or 4-CD set. It's called Financial Armageddon. Financial Armageddon. We have a syllabus by the same title. Got great information in it. Speeches you won't hear elsewhere. And that letter that Franklin Delano Roosevelt had written to Colonel House back in 1933 that I found in Colonel House's paper, where the President of the United States writes to Colonel House and says, as you and I both know, the financial elements in major centers has owned the government, our government, the government of the United States since the days of Andrew Jackson. This letter is written in 1933 from the President of the United States. It's an authentic letter. He understood what was going on, but he didn't understand that his best friend, Colonel House, was part and parcel of this whole occult movement to come to control the world. Well, then, of course, you need, of course, to get our 4-CD set on the Financial Armageddon, our syllabus on the Financial Armageddon, certainly my talk on the Financial Tsunami and the syllabus that goes with that. The book, The Coming Battle, written in 1889 about how the banks were going to take away the freedom of the American people. The book, Money Creators, written in 1935. The Creature from Jekyll Island by Ed Griffin, probably the best single book you can get. The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton. The book Trilateralists Over Washington by Professor Sutton. Well, and then, of course, we hope many of you will want to certainly get the DVDs on the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, the Riddles in Stone, the Eye of the Phoenix, the Eye of the Phoenix, which goes into the background of the secret emblems on the back of the dollar bill. You will never look at a dollar bill again the same after, of course, you've watched that DVD. We have the DVD put together by the man who put together the other DVDs. A talk he gave here is called The Atlantis Connection. The Atlantis Connection. Constance Cumby's talk on the Emergence, the Coming of the New World Leader. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com. Listen to our programs, watch our DVDs, and pray for Radio Liberty.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 2.